They were both pale, and their features were remarkable, if not precisely beautiful. They would stand out in any crowd, and not in an unpleasant way, either, but they would never be mistaken for cover models. The twins rose as the elevator doors opened, and their eyes looked very intent and very black as they stared at us. I've looked down the barrel of a gun before. This was like looking down four of them at once. They stood there, inhumanly motionless. Both wore headsets, but only one of them murmured into hers. I started to step out of the elevator, but Guard put out a cautionary hand. "Don't, until you're approved," she said. "They'll kill you. Maybe me, too." "Like their receptionist's tough in these parts, huh?"
"It would be wiser not to joke," she said quietly. "They don't miss anything, and they never forget."
The receptionist who had spoken into her mic flexed one hand slowly closed and open. Her nails peeled up silver curls from the stainless steel desk. I thought about making a manicure joke and decided not to. Go, go, gadget wisdom. "Do you do oranges, too?" asked my mouth, without checking in with the rest of me. "What about sharpening table knives and scissors and lawn tools? My landlady's lawnmower blade could use a hand job from a girl like you."
"Dresden,"
Guard hissed, her eyes both furious and wide with near panic. Both of the receptionists were focused on me intently now. The one who had remained silent shifted her weight, as though preparing to take a step. "Come on, Sigrun," I said to my companion. "I'm trying to be diplomatic. The wisdom of my ass is well known. If I didn't lip off to them, after shooting my mouth off to fairy queens and vampire courts, plural, courts, demigods and demon lords, they might get their feelings hurt." Guard eyed me for a moment more before her uncertain blue eyes gained a gleam of devil-may-care defiance. It looked a lot more natural on her than fear. "Perhaps your insults and insolence are not the valued commodities you believe them to be." "Huh," I said. "Good one." The chatty twin tilted her head slightly to one side for a moment, then said,
"Right away, sir."
She pointed her fingernail at me. "You are to enter the office through the doors behind me." She aimed her nail at Guard next. "You are to accompany him and make introductions." Guard nodded shortly and then tilted her head in a come-along sort of gesture. We walked out of the elevator and passed the twins to the door behind them. They turned their heads as I went by, tracking my every movement. It was downright creepy. On the other side of the door was a long hallway, also made of stainless steel. There were multiple ports or hatches of some kind in rows along the walls, all closed. They were about the size of dinner plates. I got the feeling that any visitors who tried the hors d'oeuvres served up from those plates would not be asking for the recipe later in the evening. At the end of the hall was another set of steel doors, which gave way soundlessly before us, revealing another room done all in stainless steel, holding only a massive desk behind which was seated a man. Donar Vaderung sat with his chin propped on the heel of his hand, squinting at a holographic computer display. And the first thing my instincts did was warn me that he was very, very dangerous. He wasn't all that imposing to look at. A man in good shape, maybe in his early 50s, lean and spare in the way of long-distance runners, but too heavy in the shoulders and arms for that to be all he did. His hair was long for a man and just a bit shaggy. It was the color of a furious thundercloud, and his eye was ice blue. A black cloth patch over the other eye combined with a vertical scar similar to my own made me think that I'd been right about the corporate logo. He kept a short, neat beard. He was a striking-looking rogue, particularly with the eye patch, and looked like the sort of person who might have served 30 years of a triple life sentence and managed to talk the parole board into setting him free, probably to their eventual regret. "Sigrun," he said, his tone polite. Guard went down to one knee and bowed her head. There was no hesitation whatsoever to the woman's movements. The gesture was not simply a technicality, she had to observe. She believed that Vaderung merited such obeisance.
"My lord," Guard said, "I've brought the wizard as you commanded."
"Well done," the gray-haired man said, and made a gesture to indicate that she should rise.
I don't think she saw it with her head bowed like that, but she reacted to it anyway and stood up. Maybe they just had a few hundred years to practice. My lord, may I present Harry Dresden, wizard and warden of the White Council of Wizards. I nodded to Vadarung. Wizard, this is Donar Vadarung, CEO of Monarch Secure. I think I've got a pretty good idea what he's in charge of, I said quietly. The old man's mouth turned faintly up at the corners when I spoke. He gestured to a steel chair across the desk from him. Please, sit down. I pointed at the holographic display. You sure you want to put that at risk? If I stand too close to it... Vadarung turned his face up to the ceiling and barked out a laugh of genuine amusement. I'll take my chances. Suits me, I said. I walked over to the desk and sat down in the steel chair across from Vadarung's. It didn't have a cushion or anything, but it was surprisingly comfortable nonetheless. Coffee, he asked me. Something to eat. I paused for a breath to think before answering. Duties such as this involved the obligations and responsibilities of guest to host and vice versa. If Vadarung was who I thought he was, he had been known from time to time to go forth and test people on how well they upheld that particular tradition, with generous rewards for the faithful and hideous demises for the miserly, callous, or cruel.